Hello. I really didn't prepare the message. I had a very busy week, really, really busy. And I was praying, asking God for what to share with us today. Not all the week, yeah, at the beginning of the week, you know, just asking God for something to share. I believed something in line with what we've been hearing the past few weeks. So yesterday, I still hadn't had anything, so I decided to, the word that keeps coming to my mind is cheat, but it's not cheat. I didn't cheat, but I decided to you know, look through one of Andrew Womack's materials. So I have about three of them. This was the one that was on top, the Believer's Authority. So I took it and I was praying, and I flipped through it, through the contents, and I saw how to pray for the lost. Amen. Which I believe is still, you know, in line with what we've been hearing. Last time we heard, 2 weeks ago, we heard about go and preach the gospel. Go and preach the gospel, and I think follow up from 2 weeks ago, John preached as well, and we prayed. And what we are planning to do over the next few weeks is to meet in maybe in twos or threes, if possible, to pray for our people of peace. And I believe God wants us to have some tips on how to pray. Praise God. So I found this lesson here, which says how to pray for the lost. So I'm just going to share this with us. So it starts with saying, I'd like to share with you some biblical ways to effectively pray for a lost person. This kind of prayer is like water. Once the seed is planted, it must be watered. Prayer isn't a substitute for planting a seed. You can water barren ground all you like, but it won't produce a harvest. You must plant the seed of God's word for people to be born again. However, these are some good ways to pray to water the seed that has been planted. Somewhere in Corinthians, it says, Paul planted, Apollos watered. Previously, I didn't understand what they were talking about in that scripture. But anyway, it says, as you start praying for a lost person, you need to recognize that God loves them infinitely more than you do. So when we have people of peace or relatives who are not Christians, we probably have been praying for them for a long, long time, and there appears not to be any changes. Instead, it appears to be getting worse. We should know that God loves them more than we do. He loves them infinitely. He loves them so much that he sent his son Jesus Christ to die for them. But they do have a will of their own. They have a will. They have to choose to follow Jesus. Previously, it used to be that people took on themselves the responsibility to get somebody saved. I must get this person saved. No. We are not the ones getting them saved. It's Jesus. Our duty is to go speak to them and then pray. Praise God. So God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So the Lord doesn't want this person to perish but to repent. Turn to him and enjoy everlasting life. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us word, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's comforting that God has not forgotten any of our relatives or any of our people of peace or anyone in the world for that matter. When he promises something, he will surely fulfill it. It may take a long, long time, but it does happen. Could be at the person's deathbed. Who knows? So in light of this, you could start by thanking him, saying, so these are the tips. So we need to know the scriptures. We need to remind ourselves of John 3:16, for God so loved the world. And then we need to remember that his promises he fulfills. And in light of this, we could start by saying, Father, I thank you that you love this person so much that you gave him, that you gave your only begotten son for them. It's not your will for them to perish, but to come to repentance and to turn to you. I thank you, Lord, that you've already provided for their salvation. Amen. So we need to thank God that he loved them. So the next step is, God not only loves the whole world, but he's already died for the sins of the whole world. He's already paid for them. A person who goes to hell is going there with their sins paid for. The reason they go to hell is because they reject the payment. They refuse to believe and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. So God has already made the payment. He's already paid the debt for all our sins. And whoever is going to hell doesn't know that his sins have been forgiven. And 2 weeks ago, when, Clifton, he said, you know, the God of this world, or the spirit of the Antichrist, has blinded the minds or the eyes, not physical eyes, but the spiritual eyes of the people, so that they will not receive the good news. So somebody could have heard the gospel over and over and over and over and over again, but there is a God with a little g, small g, who is in the world, who blinds their eyes so that they will not receive the gospel, so the gospel will not be of effect in their lives. And that's why we need to pray. So it's not enough to just speak the word to them. The most, I would say, important thing actually is praying in our closet, really, you know, traveling prayers, like we call it. The Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, makes tremendous power available. Maybe we should look at how we pray. I found with myself that I've been praying for my family members for a long time. Sometimes I'm hot on it, I'm praying, then after a while I forget. And then I grow cold, and then I remember again, and then I start praying again. Probably that's what's been happening to us. But it says the effectual fervent, the prayer has to be not just once, it has to be continual. Even when, you know, we seem not to be seeing the person changed. So the second bit is we should pray that God should bring laborers across their path. So the first one is we should remember that God loves them more than we do. He loves them more than we do. In fact, he loves us so much that he's brought the solution, he's paid the price for them. So the next one is we should pray that God should bring laborers, because probably they will listen to someone else and not to us. So you can continue praying. Father, I thank you that you've already made provision. Jesus, you are the atoning sacrifice for everyone's sins, not only for those who believe, but also those who are lost. So Father, I thank you that you want them to be saved, and you've already provided their salvation. And he continues, then you can take your authority and start speaking out things that need to happen, since God has to flow through a person, you can pray according to Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10, 17 says. So we continue praying, saying, Father, your word says that faith comes by hearing your word. So I'm praying that your word will come across their path. I ask that you will send forth laborers across their path. I believe that right now someone is coming to them to share your word. If they are in a bar, let a preacher walk in and give them the gospel. If they are at home watching television, I pray that they will come across the word being presented in the program. If they are driving their car, let them turn the radio on to someone sharing the good news. Father, I ask you to send laborers across their path at their job. May a co-worker sit down next to them and start telling them how much you love them and how they can be born again. Matthew 9:38 says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. I read the scripture yesterday. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And it really made sense to me. Because when I used to pray this scripture, I used to pray it like, oh God, I'm a laborer. I want to go into your harvest, you know. I never really saw that I could pray it for my relative or my loved one or someone I know. Like I just used to pray it like a blanket prayer, like, Lord, send laborers into the harvest, Lord. You know, the harvest is ripe. Amen. And then the third thing is, remember the word. It says, pray that the word they've already heard will come back to their remembrance. John 14:26 says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I've said unto you. So we pray, Father, I pray that the word that they have heard when they were a kid in Sunday school will come back to them. Somehow, they must receive the incorruptible seed of the word. Like when John went downstairs with Forsyth last week. They spoke to some people, to this guy that John spoke with and the other one with the red baseball cap. Something they said, or John and Forsyth must have said to these guys, God can use those words. You know, when they get home or in the middle of something, the Holy Spirit could use those words. Amen. So the Holy Spirit could use those words and bring it to their remembrance. And the Holy Spirit can focus their minds on that word. And as they focus their mind on that word, the Holy Spirit will begin to minister to them. And it's the word that sets us free. So he says, then offer yourself as a vessel. It's very ineffective to pray, oh God, send laborers across their path, if you are not willing to be one. If you have an opportunity to tell them the truth, take it. I recognize that in certain instances and for whatever reason, that person may have just totally cut you off. Maybe there are certain things that this person won't let you talk to them about. However, if you can speak to them, then do so. If I was praying for God to bring the word to someone, and then as I was praying, the Lord said, you go talk to them, I will stop my prayer right there and go talk to that person. Maybe I'd have to call them on the phone, or somehow I would act on God's leading right then. I wouldn't pray about it anymore until I'd done as he instructed me to do. So the first one is, remember God loves them more than you do, and he's demonstrated his love by paying the ultimate sacrifice. And then two, asking God for laborers, asking God for people to come across their path who can speak to them about Jesus. And as we're praying for God to bring people across their path, we should be examining our hearts to hear what God is speaking to us. And God will give us wisdom as well, especially if it's people who are really close and we've spoken God's word to for a long time. And it appears to be falling on deaf ears. You'll be wondering, what else can I say? But it's just trusting. You know, for me, that's what keeps me though, that God says he loves them more than I can ever love them. That's number one. And number two, God's word can never fall to the ground. It must do that which he sends it to do. So that comforts me. And another scripture that says you'll be saved, you and your household. Just keep confessing that word and never give up. I think that's the second. Okay, the other one is remember the word. Remember God's word. That the Holy Spirit will use the word that they've heard before. So the fourth one is stand against the devil. Also, you can take your authority and stand against the devil. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4 says, in whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. It's a spiritual battle. Clifton said something 2 weeks ago. He said, you know, he prayed for boldness. He prayed for us for boldness. We all lined up here and he prayed for boldness. So he said something, you know, it's not enough to just have boldness. We have to have faith. Because if you have boldness and you're just going to have boldness, you just speak to anybody, you just start talking to people. Because you don't mix it with faith, it's really not going to work. And then you get discouraged. But if you have that faith, you go and you know that you're not alone. The Holy Spirit is with you. And you know that it's a spiritual battle. Because there's an evil spirit, the spirit of the Antichrist in the world, which the Bible calls the God of this world. And the Bible says, all those who have not believed in Christ yet, they are all the children of the devil. When I say that to my children, sometimes they're like, because you see everybody walking on the streets, they look good, dressed well, and you're wondering, why do you think that the children of the devil? It's not me, it's the Bible that says so. We were all children of the devil before we got saved. And the Bible calls people who are not saved evil. Bible says, if you who are evil know how to give good things to your children, how much more the Father? So, he says he's delivered us from the kingdom of darkness and he's brought us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And he's given us the command to be his ambassadors, getting people from the evil side onto the good side. So when we know that these people who are evil, not because of what they have done, it's not because of what they have done, it's because of in whom they are. They are in the devil, and the devil is evil. Those who have believed in Christ Jesus are in Christ, and he's good. So they need to get out of evil into good, out of death into life. So this verse reveals that a demonic power operates in people who don't believe, blinding them to the truth so that the light of the gospel won't shine onto them. God needs someone, a physical body, to take the authority and release his power, saying, I command this demonic blindness and hardened heart to be gone in Jesus' name. I command command this demonic blindness and hardened heart to be gone in Jesus' name. I heard stories of, you know, some people being maybe in that room, something happening, there's a fight, there's somebody's here praying. As you're praying, all of a sudden you're like, why am I fighting? Or why am I doing this? Because the person here was taking authority over the situation over there. That's authority we have over all demons. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth have been given unto me. Go ye, therefore. Because he says he's given us the authority. So we stand here on this earth in Christ's stead, in the place of Jesus Christ, taking that authority. And taking authority over, especially if the person is a relative, we have to stand and take authority over that, over the demonic power. So now I need to clarify something here. Because you are praying for another person who has their own free will, you are praying for someone who has their own free will, you may need to pray these things for them again and again. This isn't praying in unbelief, because they may be negating your prayer by exercising their own free will. Let's say you pray for this person, breaking the blindness and hardness of heart. God opens up their heart, and all of a sudden this deception is gone, and the word is coming to them. They are remembering scriptures, and people are coming across their path. However, if that person isn't ready to repent and receive, they reject this conviction and drawing of the Holy Spirit. Their own free will has more power and authority over them than you do. So even though you've prayed for them and you know it's working, they have the right to reject it. If they do, then you have to pray that prayer again. It's not that you prayed one of those prayers in unbelief. You believe your prayer. You believe that your prayer was answered, and it was. However, the person just hasn't responded yet. So you pray in faith again, releasing your faith for God to minister to them and break that blindness so that they can see Christ. Hopefully, as they are hit with the gospel a number of times, it will eventually penetrate and begin to soak in. The reason you have to pray this kind of prayer over and over again is because the person is constantly avoiding your prayer by hardening their heart. So probably this is the reason why we appear not to see results with people. Because they have to make the choice. We've heard stories of people praying for other people, not just relatives, even friends. And they will pray, and they will even pray for years, and they themselves that are praying will die. And before they die, the person hasn't given their life to Christ. But the person will surely give them their life to Christ later, in future. I've heard those stories. Because the seed has been planted, and the watering, different people have spoken to this person, and then one day to just be just one other person that just comes and speaks to them, and all the connection, all the dots come into place. The person gives their life to Christ. Of course, we don't have to pray and pray. I don't like that myself, but like I said here, they have their own free will. We cannot force them to give their lives to Christ. The more you make it so obvious that you are praying for them, you're telling them about Christ, it appears you are even pushing them away. So, and that's why in the place of prayer, we get wisdom. Wisdom on, you know, what to say. The Holy Spirit can put things in our hearts on what to say to the person. So remit their sins. Another way you can pray for this person is to remit their sins. So whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. That's John chapter 20, verse 23. Contrary to what some people thought, this doesn't mean you can forgive their sins. You don't have the power to forgive sins. However, you can remit them. So when someone with cancer is symptom-free, they will say they're in remission. Remission doesn't mean the cancer is gone, just that there are no visible or physical signs of it. So when the word says that you can remit sins, it means you can deal with the effects sin causes in that person. In praying for a lost person, you can break off the demonic blindness and hardness of heart. You can pray that laborers will bring God's word across their path and that it will come back to their remembrance. You can also remit their sins. All of this biblical and effective ways to pray. Even though they may choose to resist and reject the drawing of the Holy Spirit, you can be confident that through your prayers, God is continuing to work in their lives. Praise God. That's the end of the lesson. So I just want to, which it was done here, summarize, because it's how to pray for the lost. The topic is, remember, God loves them more than you do. You can't love them more than God. God has paid the price for them to be saved. Another thing I would like to add is we should pray that God should fill our hearts with love for them. Love and compassion. I think the Bible says this is scripture now about faith and love. I can't remember the scripture. But anyway, it says, we should pray that God should fill our hearts with love and compassion for the lost. Because if we don't have love and compassion for the lost, we really will pray. We'll pray and we'll give up. And apart from praying, how will we relate to people who are not saved is very important as well. So love and compassion is very important in the way we pray and in the way we relate, we speak to people who are lost. Because there's this tendency for some Christians to judge others. Yeah, this person is lost. This person is going to hell. Yeah, we know this person is going to hell. But we would have been going to hell if not for Jesus. If not, probably somebody prayed for us. If not for how good is that, how God is good, that we are saved. We can never boast. We can only be grateful to God that we are His children, that we are on the right path, not because of what we are doing, the good things we are doing, but because of Jesus Christ. So we just bless God today. I think we should break up and pray. Let's practice praying. We should pray for, I was going to bring out some post-it notes and pens so we can write out the names of people we want to pray for, but it's okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah, can we just pass them on? We could pray as well that God should, we don't have that courage yet to go speak to people. We should pray that God should fill us with the courage, with the boldness we need to pray and then to speak to people. This place says, stand against the devil. The devil really is not an issue. The devil is powerless. All power in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus Christ. The devil has no power. He's a defeated foe. That's why the Bible calls him, he goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But we can pray that as many people can be delivered from the devil's clutches back into God's kingdom. Praise God. Who name it is, the name of Jesus Christ of King. What a beautiful name it is, nothing can stand again. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. You have no rival, you have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all. Let's just pray. Let's pray for these people that was written down. Let's thank God for how much He loves them. We'll just call their names. We mustn't call it loud. Just spend some time praying, thanking God for loving them so much more than we can ever love them. Father, we give you praise. We thank you for the lost, Lord. We thank you because you've already made a way for them to come into your family. You did this because of your love for them. You love the whole world. You don't love some people. You love everybody. We thank you for our people of peace. We thank you for our friends and family who are not yet saved, Lord. We remind ourselves today that you indeed love them. And you want them to be saved. It's not your will that any should perish, Lord, but everyone should come to the knowledge of the truth. Father, we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Let's pray God to send laborers into their laborers into across their path, wherever they may be, whether at work, school, on the street. Lord, we thank you because your word says the harvest is ripe. Indeed it is. There are so many lost people all over the world. So many lost people in our community, in Coventry. So many lost people in our families. We don't have to go far to go before we can see those who are lost. Father, we are saved. We thank you for that. And we want our loved ones to be saved. So we ask you, Lord, because you love them, Lord, you indeed bring laborers across their path. People who can speak to them that they will listen. Father, we give you praise. We thank you, Lord. And we pray that, Lord, we will, as we pray, we will listen to your Holy Spirit speak to our hearts. To pray the right way, to pray right, not pray out of frustration, but pray out of love and compassion. Father God, thank you, Lord, for this in Jesus' name. Amen. We pray, oh God, let's pray for the word of God that people will bring across their path, and the Holy Spirit will remind them of this word when they are maybe in their quiet times or in the middle of something. Holy Spirit, thank you because you do a good job of it. We thank you for the testimonies, Lord, that your word will come back to them, Lord. Because the seed has been planted and the seed must grow. Because as we pray, we are watering the seed. And there's no seed that is planted that will not grow. We pray, oh God, that their hearts will be fertile ground. That as the word is spoken to them, Lord, their hearts are fertile ground. And then that the word will germinate, Lord, and will grow. Because your spirit brings the word back to their memories. And we begin to work in your hearts, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. I'm going to pray against the God of this world that has blinded the minds of the people of this world. Father, we pray for all these people we are praying for today, Lord. We ask you, Lord, for your grace, Lord, upon their lives. And at this time, Lord, we take authority. We take authority over the God of this world, against the Antichrist. We take authority, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We command this demonic blindness and hardened heart to be gone in Jesus' name. We thank you because in your name, every knee shall bow. And we command this demonic power to bow in the name of Jesus. To bow in the name of Jesus. We thank you because, Lord, we stand and we stand in the name of Jesus Christ against every principality and power. Every principalities and powers that are preventing our loved ones, our friends and family from coming to the knowledge of the truth. Father, we stand against that demonic power, that demonic force. Jesus, the power of Jesus is greater than any power. Because all authority, all power has been given to you, Jesus. And Jesus, you reside in us. And because you reside in us, Lord, we have all your power. Because all your fullness, the fullness of the Godhead is bodily in us. We give you praise, oh God, as we take authority now over that veil that the devil has used to blind the eyes of those who have not yet received the gospel, received the good news. Father God, that veil be taken off now in the name of Jesus. Father, we give you praise. We thank you for their lives. Hallelujah, Lord. We say thank you. Amen. We ask that the light of the gospel will flood your hearts. Light will shine through that darkness. And that light will remain in Jesus' name. Thank you, because their sins are forgiven, Lord. We give you praise. And they will come to accept that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God.
Good afternoon. Right. It's a bit late, but we're doing worship now. Yay! So, we'll start with some action songs. Kids, if you want to come forward and join in, make some space. Okay then, adults, you join up and come forward, because the kids aren't coming. This is a song we do at Kids Club for the past 20 years. Yeah. So everybody up, join in. Hmm? for joining. Thank you, though. Stay up here, there's more. So next time we've got a new song. This is you, I think. This is Not Forgotten, and it's got a bit of a banger backbeat. It's very good. You have to get your dance moves on. You can do the line balls again.
I'm not forgotten.
Thank you, Father. Yeah, it is a good one. We'll do that again, I think. next up, what's it? Never Once, maybe?
Okay.
Take it down a notch.
Top, looking just how far we've come, knowing that for every step you were with us. Kneeling on this battleground, seeing just how much you've done, knowing every victory is your power in us. Scars and struggles on the way, with joy our hearts can say, yes, our hearts can say. Never once did we ever walk alone. Never once did you leave us on our own. You are faithful, God, you are faithful. Battleground, seeing just how much you've done, knowing every victory is your power in us. Scars and struggles on the way, but with joy our hearts can say, yes, our hearts can say. Struggles on the way, but with joy our hearts can say, never once did we ever walk alone. Carried by your constant grace, held within your perfect peace. Never once, no, we never walk alone.
Feels like Jericho. Through the walls of